Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I am joined in the studio today by my wife, Debbie. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Appreciate it.
Well, and I am struggling with some congestion, so I may sound a little different.
Hey, you're admitting it. We're making progress.
Oh, I'm taking tons of medicine.
You're drugging up, aren't you?
All sorts of natural things to build my immunity, and Airborne and DayQuil and
except for
Z-Pak
the except for the natural gargle that you just don't want to do.
Yeah, I need to do that.
Yeah, it would really help you.
I haven't done that. Well, we welcome you to the program today. We want to talk today about an important subject, and that is the subject of intercessory prayer. On Friday, we talked about the importance of prayer and how God says that I'm listening. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. And it's such a privilege that we have as Christians to call upon the Lord. And we pray, you know, you might have learned the little ACTS acronym, A-C-T-S. How do you pray? Well, follow the A-C-T-S acronym. A stands for adoration. C stands for confession, T stands for thanksgiving, and S stands for supplication. And so we can pray about anything and everything, but a big part of prayer is intercessory prayer, where we intercede for another person. We stand in the gap for another person. And that's what we saw, and we talked about that yesterday at church. That's what we saw Moses do so much of the time when God would get, he'd run out of patience with his people, and he'd say, Moses, your people are totally out of hand, and I think I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses would say, wait a minute, Lord, we don't want to do that. And I think, as I shared yesterday in the golden calf incident in Exodus 32, that was a test for Moses. God didn't want to wipe out his people. He didn't want to destroy his people.
Don't you think, though, if you were Moses with all those people grumbling, that you might have said, yes, Lord, that's a good idea. Let's wipe them out and start over.
Yeah, and I think Moses knew, he knew when the Lord was not going to respond, you know, in the issue of Korah in number 16. He told Aaron, wrath has gone forth from the Lord. God is, and the Lord killed 14,700 of them at the end of number 16 because they had just come against God's authority. And, you know, the Lord, we have said on this program, and I've said in church many, many times, the Lord is marvelously patient, but his patience doesn't last forever. His patience is not everlasting. And eventually there comes a time when God says, enough. And we see that in Daniel chapter 5 when the king is grabbing the cups and the implements from the temple that they had taken under Nebuchadnezzar, and he's toasting his false gods with the sacred goblets that they took from the temple, and God said, that's enough. That's when they saw the handwriting on the wall, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. And so as Christians, we are twice-born men living in a world of once-born men, and we are called to be witnesses of the resurrection of Christ and the power of Jesus to save and redeem. And the Bible, you know, says, I send you to these people to be my witnesses. And we don't necessarily do a great job with that. And I think one of the reasons we don't see the results that we would like to see in people coming to Christ is because we're not praying like we should be. And I'm talking to myself.
Right. And don't you, if you look back on your own life, there have been times in our lives, and in my life personally, I can think back and think of several times where I just didn't have the physical ability to pray myself. Maybe I was too sick to do that, or too distraught to do that, or whatever the reason might have been. And how important it was for me to know that there were other people standing in the gap for me. And I think if we all look back on our lives, maybe it was a grandparent that, you know, prayed for you all the time when you were growing up or something like that. We can see in our own lives where people standing in the gap for us has been so beneficial. And yet we have a tendency to be so self-focused that we don't make it a priority to necessarily stand in the gap for other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talked yesterday about, you asked the question, you know, is there really power there? Is there really power in intercessory prayer? And you have to come back to just the truth of God's word. And the answer to that is a bold, all in capital, yes, with exclamation marks. Mm-hmm. And if you truly believe that to be true, then that's a real impetus, a real urging, and a real push for you to be that for other people, to be that for our nation, and to truly stand in the gap for others and to lift them up.
Well, James 5:16 and following says this, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. That was judgment from God. When there's no rain, that's judgment from God. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Does prayer have power? It does. And Elijah is a heavy hitter. You know, anytime you're chosen by God to be one of two people who stands on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus, Moses and Elijah, you are really esteemed in the sight of God. And so he is a heavy hitter. But as James said, hey, he wasn't Superman. He was just a man who trusted God. And he doesn't have anything on you or me, because we can trust God like he trusted God. His prayers had power, and our prayers can have power too.
Well, I think it goes back to that very first part of the verse where he talks about the fervent prayer of a righteous man. A righteous man doesn't mean a sinless man. And so kind of expand on that a little bit, Jeff, because there are people living in their sin, not willing to give up their sin, claiming God is loving, God is loving, God is loving, which God is loving. But there's a difference between your prayers being blocked because your heart is not right with him, and a man that is sinful by nature but brings those to the Lord, confesses those things, and is made righteous through the blood of Christ, and those prayers getting to God's ear. So talk about that
right.
A little bit.
So Psalm 66, verse 18, David said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." So I can't pray. The line is blocked between myself and God if there's sin that I'm holding on to, because God will not look upon sin with approval. Habakkuk chapter 1, his eyes are too pure to approve of sin. And if we say, 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, well, newsflash, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we have to deal with sin. And every righteous man in the Bible was not, as you said, he's not a sinless man. So he has to deal with sin. And the difference between being a righteous man or an unrighteous man, there are two ways to look at that. Every believer is declared righteous by the Lord, because once you put your faith and trust in Jesus, the Father wraps his gavel and says, not guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. But as a Christian, we have to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. And if we're not dealing with sin on a regular basis and confessing it and getting out of our hearts and lives, then our prayer life is going to suffer greatly, because God says, you need to deal with this. And Debbie, one of the things that I've seen as a pastor is the biggest thing that people deal with. I mean, there are sexual sins, there are sins related to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes is really greed. I want more and more and more. But bitterness. And when someone hurts you, when someone wrongs you, when someone embarrasses you, when someone spreads lies about you, when someone faces you in a meeting or whatever and puts you on the spot or whatever, you can get bitter at that person. And every time you get hurt, the flip side of the coin from hurt is anger. And then anger, if it's not dealt with, turns into bitterness. And I think there are lots of Christians who have a bitter heart toward another person, believer or unbeliever. And because you've allowed that to foul and fester, the Lord says, I can't hear you. You can't have a relationship with me if you're holding on to bitterness.
Right. And, you know, that is a tough one, because there is a righteous indignation when you have been mistreated or something like that. There's a righteous indignation that rises up within you, but it can quickly become unrighteous when you allow that to turn into unforgiveness and then progress and sour into bitterness and those kind of things. And it that is hard, because the deeper the hurt, the more severe the wound, the easier it is to fall into the trap of unforgiveness and bitterness. And you know, That's a tough one, but it's one that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are all able to make the choice to forgive.
Well, I remember what my friend Charles Lowry said. He was talking to pastors, and he said, you know, pastors can feel the wrath of church members, because especially especially if you start making changes.
Right.
And if you go to a church and you don't make any changes, then you have a big group of people that are like, well, you're not doing anything. You know, we need to move forward. And then if you make changes, then you have people, why'd you make that change? And so he always used the illustration Q-tip. He said, remember, pastors, Q-tip, quit taking it personally. You know, this isn't a personal attack on you. It's more about your position. You know, it's not that the people hated Moses. It's that they didn't want God to tell them what to do. That's the real issue.
And they didn't like their circumstances.
They didn't like their circumstances, but they, you know, who appointed you? Who died and made you king, Moses? It's like, well, God appointed me.
And they even admitted that. I mean, then they'd fall back into grumbling against him. Oh, yes, Moses, you're the man. God appointed you. We see that. Oh, wait, now we're grumbling because we don't have water. Now we're grumbling because we don't have meat. Now we're grumbling because we don't have food.
You know? Well, they had a real problem with memory, you know, and forgetfulness. I had shared yesterday about, if you had been part of the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, you saw the 10 plagues that God put on the Egyptians, and the land of Goshen is kept from all those plagues. I mean, the Lord made a great distinction between my people and the Egyptians. Well, if you were there at the Red Sea when God parted the Red Sea, you would have been so blown away at the power of God that it's amazing to think that you would ever turn and grumble and gripe and complain. And it says at the end of Exodus 14, when they God parted the Red Sea and the people came through, 1 million to 2 million people came through on dry land, and then God held back the Egyptians until the people were there, let them come into the sea, and then caused the water to come on them and drowned them all. It says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And that lasted for 3 days.
72 hours.
Amazing.
Yes.
Exodus 15, they have no water and they're grumbling, griping, and complaining.
But how convicting, because I mean, let's take a look in the mirror, huh? I mean, how prone are we to do that exact same thing?
Yes, you really are, Debbie.
Oh, goodness. There's a mirror here for you, too.
Yes, that's true. And that should be a wake-up call to all of us that God has done great things in our lives. If you're saved, the Lord has performed a great miracle in raising you from spiritual death into spiritual life. And we need to trust him no matter what's going on. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm talking to my beautiful wife, Debbie. We're talking about the power of intercessory prayer, standing in the gap, praying for loved ones, for friends, for neighbors, for our country. Our country is in a mess, but God has the answers. So don't go away.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your life.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at afr.net.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
On January 12th, a tornado tracked across several southern states, leaving significant damage. 8 Days of Hope is going to the hard-hit area of Selma, Alabama, and we need your help. Here's 8 Days of Hope president, Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change. And you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door. And there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country. And homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 or older. Meals and lodging will be provided. Come and be the hands and feet of Jesus. For more information or to volunteer, visit 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I wanted to let you know about a trip we have planned to the Holy Land. We're going to Israel October 16th through the 25th, and this will be my fourth trip to Israel, and really looking forward to it. And we would love for you to prayerfully consider coming with us October 16th through the 25th. You can go to fbctexarkana.org and find out all the trip information. And you can sign up and let us know that you'd like to go. We can answer any questions that you might have for us. But it's always an awesome time as we go to the place, the land where Jesus walked walked through, you know, the places of Israel.
Yeah, you're struggling a little, are you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just call a spade a spade here.
Do you think it's the medication?
I think it's all the medication.
Anyway,
yes.
We'd love for you to come with us, and I'll be a little more coherent when we go to Israel.
Yes.
All right, Debbie, yes. So we left the broadcast at the break, and I was talking about the people grumbling 3 days after the Red Sea experience, and so you had a comment with
well,
that.
Well, I was just going to bring to mention that we had started one of the Bible studies for the ladies at our church this past week. It is called Missing Pieces by Jennifer Rothschild, and she had the whole introduction to this study was all about those why questions that we have, like, you know, why am I why am I suffering from cancer? Why did God allow cancer to come into my life due to the fact that I walk with him? He could have prevented this, but he didn't. Why did God allow my husband to walk out on me? I mean, she just starts listing all these different things. For her personally, it was like, Lord, why did you allow me to experience blindness? Because she became blind, legally blind, when she was 15 years old. And she said, as she was just pouring her heart out to the Lord just turned her attention to the cross. And it was like, okay, instead of grumbling and asking those why questions, which are legitimate, heartfelt questions, turn it to, okay, but why grace? Why are you deserving of my grace? Why forgiveness? Why are you deserving of my forgiveness, yet I've given that to you? Why mercy? What have you done that you're deserving of my mercy, yet I'm giving you my mercy? And so it was all a matter of perspective. And I think if we go back even to the story with the Israelites, when their eyes got off the Lord, that's when they went south every single time, mm-hmm. because they got caught up in their circumstances. They got caught up in wanting to physically see a God that they could worship, mm-hmm. and they got off track every single time.
Yeah, they were greatly influenced. The people that came out of Egypt, all they knew was what they saw in Egypt. Well, Egypt was filled with false gods. And so they had idol worship everywhere, and so that's they were influenced by that. And in Exodus 32, which is a classic passage of scripture, it's the golden calf incident. Moses is up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments from God. They were written by the finger of God on the tablets of stone. He's up there communing with God 40 days and 40 nights, and 40 is an important number in scripture. It's used 146 times in the Bible. It's a number associated with testing. The Lord allowed, he rained from the sky 40 days and 40 nights during the flood of Noah. Goliath taunted the armies of Israel for 40 days. He took his stand. Jesus went into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil for 40 days. 40 is a number of testing. Well, Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and the people say, hey, Aaron, we don't know what happened to this Moses. So come make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. He's probably dead. And so we need to move on, and we need a God that we can see, a God who will go before us. And so Aaron said, give me your gold earrings. And then all the people tore off their gold rings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is sickening, but this is what they said. This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. They had already confirmed the covenant. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Exodus 24. This is Exodus 32. And they had received the Ten Commandments, commandment number two, no idol worship, and yet they make an idol, and Aaron goes along with it. And it says, so the next day, then Aaron said, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord, a feast to Yahweh. So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They rose up, as I said yesterday, they didn't rise up to play cornhole. Right. They didn't rise up for a battle of horseshoes. They rose up in sexual immorality. The word play carries with it the idea of a sexual orgy. And they made this golden calf that was a picture of what they knew in Egypt, Apis, A-P-I-S, the bull that they worshipped in Egypt, and a picture of strength and a picture of fertility and virility. And they... So oftentimes with those false gods that had to do with the crops and the flocks and being fertile, they would have sexual immorality that would be associated with that. And so anyway, that's what took place. And the Lord said to Moses, go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have become like bad meat. They have gone south. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And the Lord said, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people, stiff-necked and stubborn. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation. This is a great, great sin. You talk about exhausting God's patience in that sin. They did that, and God was ready to destroy them.
Well, and you know, again, if we think back on our own lives, we can look at Israel and think, oh, they're so stupid. But how often do we do the same thing? It is so easy to fall back into old patterns, to fall back into old thought processes, to fall back into thinking, oh, I'm self-sufficient, I can do this myself, I know better than God knows. I mean, that is a temptation that we all face on a regular basis. And they're just a prime example to an extreme that it's just, if we're not careful and if we are not purposely seeking after the Lord and following after Him, we are going to be prone to wander back to the old way of life that we had before.
Yeah, and that's true for all of us.
Yes.
You know, I shared yesterday about Simon Peter. And so this is after he's seen the resurrected Christ. But there's a, you know, Jesus was 40 days on the earth appearing at different times before he ascended to heaven. So there's a gap in there. And Peter has seen the resurrected Christ, but then he doesn't see him for a while. And he finally says in John 21, I'm going to go fishing. And the other guy said, well, we'll go with you. Well, fishing wasn't just a pastime for him. That was his old way of life. That's what he did. And so it was a temptation to go back to the old way, especially if for Peter, man, I've blown it big time now. Right. And this is before he had his restoration account, a meeting with the Lord, because in John 21, Jesus is going to say, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he restores him to ministry. And so Peter's thinking, well, I'm done. I have to go back to my old way of life. Now, his old way of life wasn't necessarily sinful, but it's a picture for all of us. When we feel like we wash out in the Christian life, we blow it big time. We're just like, well, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to quit going to church. I'm going to quit doing whatever ministry God has given me, and quit singing in the choir. I'm quit going to prayer time, quit serving. The book of Proverbs tells us a righteous man, going back to that word, Debbie, righteous, a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. Seven times, seven is a perfect number. He falls and falls and falls, but he doesn't stay down. He keeps getting up. And the great thing about the gospel is the Lord doesn't just give us one chance and then, you know, three strikes and you're out type deal. He's the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and the 500th chance. And Jonah 3:1, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Jonah, you didn't do it the first time, but I'm not done with you. All of us would have been done with Jonah. You're going the wrong way. Well, you're done, pal. I'm going to get somebody else. But the Lord's not like that. And I'm so glad that that's true, because I would have been out long ago.
Well, let's shift our conversation for a minute back to Moses, because even in the midst of the people grumbling about him and what had to have been great disappointment on his part as the leader, where you have been faithfully leading this grumbling group of people, you know, for several months now. What was it, 3 months in that they were
right
in when he went up to Mount Sinai? So from his vantage point, it's like, you know, he had to have, just from a human standpoint, had to have just felt great disappointment that these people that he had been so faithfully leading were grumbling, yet he still intercedes for them.
Right.
He still stands in the gap. So let's go back to that very first thing that we started the broadcast with. Talk to us just a bit about the power of intercessory prayer and how do we go about doing that?
Okay, so Moses, you know, the Lord says, let me alone that my anger may burn against them and I will destroy them and I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses entreated the Lord. And he prayed, "Oh Lord, why does your anger burn against your people?" Now, when God was angry, he said, "Moses, they're your people, and that you brought out of the land of Egypt." And said, Moses said, "No, God, they're your people, and you brought them out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. So why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent, he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember, God, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself, and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And it said the Lord responded to that prayer, and he relented. Now, the New American Standard says he changed his mind, but that's just an anthropomorphic statement.
That's a big word.
Yeah, it is.
You're so smart.
But God doesn't change his mind like we do. Like, well, okay, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to do that. No, he just relented. And really, the Lord saying, "I'm going to destroy this people and make of you a great nation, Moses," that was a test for Moses. Moses, are you gonna love the people? Are you gonna stand in the gap? You know, as it says in Ezekiel 22:30, "And I searched for a man among them who would stand in the gap for the land that I wouldn't destroy it, and I found no one." Well, Moses stood in the gap at this time and said, "Lord," and he appealed to the Lord's grace. "Lord, these are your people. You redeemed them. You brought them out of Egypt." Coming out of Egypt through the blood of the Lamb is a picture of salvation. That's an Old Testament picture of salvation. How does a person come to Christ? Through the blood of the Lamb. And they would take the 10th plague. They would take the unblemished lamb and sacrifice that lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, that top part of the door, and they would make the sign of a bloody cross on the door. And the death angel came, and "When I see the blood," God said, "I will pass over you." That's why they celebrate Passover, because it's the time the death angel saw the blood and passed over. Well, it's a picture of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is our Passover lamb. And so they're God's people. He redeemed them by his grace. And Moses appeals to the grace of God. He appeals to the name and reputation of God. "God, this is going to be terrible that the Egyptians would say you brought out your people to kill them in the wilderness. You know, God, I'm not concerned about my name. I'm concerned about your name." And then he said to God that important word in prayer, "Remember, remember. God, this is what you promised. Remember." People have asked me over the years, how do I grow in prayer? What do I pray? And I don't know really how to pray very well. I said, prayer is linked with the word. Acts chapter 6, what we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. You connect those together. And as we read the word, we pray the word back to God. And as we run across promises in the word, we pray those back to God. And we stand on his word and say, "Lord, remember, this is what you said." Now, it's not that God's forgetful. It's that we're telling God, "I believe what you said. And I'm standing on your word." And the Bible says God has magnified his word according to all his name. God loves his word. When we pray his word back to him, he responds to that.
Yeah, and there's just such power in the word of God. And there's power in the spoken word of God as you pray. That just amps it up to a different level when you speak it aloud, because the devil can't get in and read your mind, but he can sure hear the things that you speak. And so when you are just claiming the truths of God's word, that is like some great ammunition. And that's why it is so important that we know God's word, mm-hmm. that we study it for ourselves, that we spend time in it, that we dig into it, so that we can find those promises, because we can't make God's word say something that it doesn't say. We need to be studying it for ourselves so that we can take things in context and we can go back to and know what those promises are.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm joined by my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the power of intercessory prayer. And when we come back from the break, we're going to open up the phone lines. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you on this subject, and we want to help you as you stand in the gap for friends, for neighbors, for family members, for loved ones, because God can use you, little old you, just like he used Moses, to make a difference as you stand in the gap and pray a powerful prayer that makes a difference in the lives of people. Don't go away.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net. AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
American Family Radio listening family, this is Bible League International, and we've spent the last few weeks telling you about persecuted believers praying for Bibles to be able to endure and persevere in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We told you about Pastor Roos's, whose three sons were murdered by a terrorist group that hates Christians, but rather than retaliate with violence, they invited these people to learn about Jesus. 200 have come to Christ. They need Bibles in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And in the Middle East, Pastor Yusuf and a deacon in his church were kidnapped in broad daylight. When the family could not pay the ransom, they kill the deacon, they torture Pastor Yusuf, but with conviction today, that brother can say, it's an honor to suffer for the Lord. AFR listeners, you've given so generously in recent weeks so that 9,000 Bibleist persecuted believers now have a Bible. Our goal is 16,000. So in this season of giving, at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, will you pray about it? And then call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give it sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife Debbie, and we're talking about the subject of intercessory prayer, the power of intercessory prayer. And the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question about prayer, or if you have a testimony to share about, hey, you stood in the gap for somebody, you prayed for a lost friend, neighbor, a loved one, and God answered that prayer. And you know, the thing about prayer, Debbie, as you and I have talked over the years, if you pray in general, it's really hard to know if God answers. But when you pray specifically for God to do X, Lord, I want your will to be done in this person's life and work, soften their hearts. That's a good prayer to pray. Lord, soften their hearts so that the word could penetrate. Work in circumstances so that they would see that they desperately need you. You know, the Bible says the backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways. Sometimes that's a hard prayer to pray, but until a person gets to the end of the line, until they realize they're at the pigsty, so often they're not motivated to come to their senses and come back to the Father. Well, we have Coleman on the line from Texas. Coleman, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Jeff. Just a quick comment on your story with Peter and Jesus. I don't know, have you done any of the research on the Greek in that section?
I have.
So I always thought it was so interesting that Jesus, when he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he says, "Do you agape me, Peter?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know I phileo you, Lord," because that was the best that he could do. That was the best that he could bring to the table. And he does that twice. But on the third time, Jesus comes down to his level and says, "Peter, I phileo you." And Peter just breaks down into tears.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing about that, and that's a good point, Coleman. Peter had boasted, and he said, "Lord, all may fall away, but I will never fall away. I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "Oh, really? Before a cock crows twice, you're going to deny that you even know me three times." And he kept saying, "No, that will never happen." And so because he boasted three times, denied him three times, Jesus asked him three times. And I think Peter was being careful. He didn't want to make a claim that he couldn't back up. And Peter did love the Lord with all his heart, but agape is the unconditional love, and Peter had failed in agape love, so I think that's why he was saying, "Lord, I phileo you. You know that I love you with a brotherly love." And so the Lord is, he is gracious to us for sure, because he meets us at the point of our need, and obviously God used Peter in a great way, and Peter was the one who stood up on the day of Pentecost with the power of the Holy Spirit and preached that sermon that 3,000 people responded
boldly
to.
Boldly preached.
Right. Yeah. And he would stand up and be bold from that day forward. So anything else, Coleman? I appreciate that comment.
I heard you're from the Houston area, I suppose?
Yes, sir.
I'm from the Tomba up near Houston. I went to the Klein District, so I'm very familiar with, I think you said you were at the Cypress District?
Yeah, I was first graduating class from Cypress Creek High School.
I taught at Klein Oak High School.
Oh, wow. My church is right across from the street from Cypress Creek.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Which one is that?
Cypher Christian Church.
Okay, good. I did a wedding there years and years and years ago.
Oh, wow.
Small world, huh, Coleman?
That's awesome. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
All right, you have a good one.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling in. I appreciate your comment. Well, we have Sherry on the line from Texas. Sherry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you so much. I love listening to you guys in the morning. What a great way to start the day. I wanted to share something with you about prayer. God loves dogs, and we know that, but let me tell you what happened. I have a dog, 9 years old. We accidentally learned that she had a lump on her spleen. And the doctor said, we don't want to stay there, but let's just wait and see if it grows or not. Did an x-ray, did, of course, MRI even. And he said, come back in 6 months and then we'll see. And depending on what that lump is doing, he said, because we'd have to remove the spleen, and he said it's about a good 8 inches long, and she's only a 9-pound dog. And he said, so it's very invasive to do that, so let's wait. We'll see what's going on. I prayed daily. For the first week or two, I asked God to, you know, please heal her, and I just did that every day. I asked God to please heal her, and then I thanked him. After the first 2 weeks, I thanked him every night, thanking him for healing her. 6 months later, we went back to have another x-ray to see if there was any growth to the lump, and the vet came in, and he had this real unusual, he's an older vet, Christian man, he came in, and he had an unusual smile on his face. I go, the lump's not there anymore, is it? He said, no. And I said, well, I have been praying daily for 6 months that God would heal her and remove that lump. And I said, he has healed her. And he looked at me, he goes, yes, he has. And that's something, God's going to heal a dog even.
Well, the Lord is faithful to answer our prayers. And, healing is one of those things, Sherry, that we just, there's not a promise where the Lord says, if you pray for healing, I will heal. God is the healer, And God does heal, but he doesn't always heal in this life. And so I always tell people, you know, when they pray for loved ones and perhaps that loved one dies, and it's like, well, the Lord did heal them, but they're healed in glory, and they're not healed in this life. And so we have to just kind of back up and say, Lord, we don't understand your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so far are your ways above our ways, your thoughts above our thoughts. But we can trust the Lord. And we can know that he hears us, and we can believe him for it. I love this statement I heard from Adrian Rogers. It is better to die in faith than to live in doubt. And so I think we believe God for big things. Even if those things don't come to pass, we believe him, we trust him, we thank him, we stand on his word, and God responds to that because God is a good God. So I appreciate you calling in, Sherry, and sharing that story, and praise God for your faithfulness to prayer. I hope you put me on your prayer list, because obviously God is listening and God is answering. So God bless you. Well, we have Lynn from Arkansas on the line. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to get your take on praying scripture back to the Lord when you pray. And I was just going to say that I called in one time to a number that was, I don't really remember. It was just dealt with prayer. And the lady that I talked to said, praying scripture back to the Lord really works, which makes it sound like a formula. And I know that, you know, you don't just do that and then you get whatever.
Right.
But I wanted to know just your opinion on praying scripture back.
Yeah, so a great question. In the book of Nehemiah, you have the longest prayer in the Bible. And if you read that prayer, you'll find that Nehemiah is, they're repeating back what has happened. It's a lot of history in the prayer. God, you did this, and God, you did that. And so here's my take on that, Lynn, because we don't, as the scripture says, we don't know how to pray as we ought so often, Romans 8, and the Spirit prays for us with groanings too deep for words. But I think that prayer and the ministry of the Word, those things go hand in hand, and as we read the Word, as we read what God did, as we read promises, not everything God did, not everything that's descriptive is prescriptive. The way Gideon put out the fleece, that is descriptive, but that's not prescriptive. That's not saying this is how you find the will of God, you put out a fleece. It's just saying this is what Gideon did, and God graciously answered him. But I think you can look at the scripture and you say, Lord, you did that for Gideon, and I don't want to not trust your word, but please put in my heart, as you made it clear to him what he was supposed to do, make it clear to me what I'm supposed to do. And so I think you can take scripture and you can just say, well, Lord, this is what you did. This is what your word says. I shared yesterday with the church, I said, Isaiah 26:3 is a great passage of scripture. And you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I said, that's a promise to cling to. That's a promise to bring back to God, especially when the bottom drops out of your life, when you get the bad news that you have cancer, that your loved one has cancer, that your loved one passed away, whatever it might be, those difficulties that your son, your daughter is having serious trouble in his or her marriage. God, I need your peace, and you've promised your peace to your children, so I keep my mind fixed on you. And you just keep bringing that back to the Lord. The Lord loves that because that shows that we trust God's word. And as I said in the book of Psalms, you have magnified your word according to all your name. And God loves his word, and he loves it when we trust his word.
Well, and he's true to his word. You know, if there's not one promise of God's that does not come to fruition. And so, again, like you said, it may not come to fruition as we're walking this planet, but it is going to come to fruition exactly as he has laid it out. And so we don't have to, we can take some of the guesswork out, I guess, for lack of a better way to word it, when we are praying God's word back to him.
Right.
Because his word is going to stand the test of time, and it is going to come to fruition.
So here's a good word too, Lynn. So Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That verse A lot of people claim that verse, but it's the they're really focusing in on the desires of their heart. God, you said you would give me the desires of my heart. The first part of the verse is our part. Delight yourself in the Lord. And so that word delight means to make yourself soft and pliable, like soft clay in the hands of the potter. And God is the potter, and we're the clay. If you'll be soft clay in the hands of the potter and let him turn your life and mold and make your life whatever he wants it to be, then your heart will be so in tune with his heart that the desires of your heart will be his desires for you. And so it's not that, God, I just have this desire, and maybe it's not sinful, but it's your will. And delighting yourself in the Lord is saying, not my will, but yours be done. And as we do that, here's the wonderful thing about God. God is a good God. God does want your desires to be in line with his desires. And God's desire for you and for me is the greatest thing that we could ever experience. His will for our lives is not like bad medicine that you have to take in order to get well. God is a good God. He came that we might have life and might have it abundantly, that it might be full and overflowing and meaningful. And so we can trust a God like that.
Well, I go back to, and Mr. Bible here will know the exact reference, but no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Yeah. And I remember us talking that verse over with one of our daughters over and over again over a certain situation. And it's like, okay, your part of this is that you need to be walking uprightly. And so if God is in your mind withholding something from you and not answering a specific prayer the way that you're thinking he needs to answer it, it's because that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing for you at that time or that place in life, because when you are walking uprightly with him, the good things he doesn't withhold from you. He lavishes those things out on you. And so, you know, we do our part and God does his part.
Right. Well, Lynn, anything else on that?
I can't really think of anything, but that's very good. I'm probably going to listen to this podcast, you know.
Oh, well, super. You know. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for that question. And God bless you, my sister. Well, we've been talking about intercessory prayer today, and there is power in prayer, and there's power in intercessory prayer. And listen, some people say, well, can we pray about anything and everything? God wants you to pray about anything and everything. God wants you to pray about what's on your heart. The Lord is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. We can talk to him about the things that are on our hearts.
Well, I think one question that comes up frequently is, how do I pray when I don't know what to pray? Let's just say you've had a prodigal child and you have just beseeched the Lord. You have prayed everything you know to pray. What do you do? How do you keep going? How do you persevere in that kind of prayer? And I had a sweet lady that came up to me yesterday with that issue. And you know, that's where we just rely on God's words that tells us that when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit is there interceding for us before the Father to interpret the very groanings of our heart. And so we just push through. And even when we don't feel like it, we persevere in prayer and we push through in prayer, believing that God hears and that he answers.
And remember, when you pray, you're talking to God. And so see yourself in the throne room, talking to the King, and knowing that his eyes are on you and he has a smile on his face. He loves his children. Well, thank you for joining us today. Real Truth for Today. Any podcast that you want to listen to later on, AFR.net, Real Truth for Today, and you can find it. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. Be encouraged. The Lord is in control and he loves us. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.